So, here's what you need to do. You ready? On page 40, I need you to write maximum two sentences the answer to Andy's question. And it starts like this. When you work with us, dot, dot, dot. When you work with us, and I want you to compose four phrases or sentences that meet the persuasive category of that human being. Does that make sense? I want you to speak to the control freak first. I want you then to speak to the person who wants whatever, who loves self-esteem and success, and I want you to speak to the person who wants to belong to something. Now write some sentences which start, when you work with us, dot, 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 have a bash. The very exercise of trying to do it is where you win. Right, so let's just summarise where we are. Remember this morning we started with frameworks. Let me just summarise the frameworks that you've been through so far, because we can get lost in the detail here and think, oh, where am I? What we did this morning, we discussed a framework called the five C's. That was hours ago. It's like yesterday, wasn't it? The five C's. That's where, can you remember what the five C's were, very quickly, without looking?
Control.
The first C in any business has got to be what?
Client.
It's got to start with a client. Client.
Company.
Client. Company.
Control.
You're not operating in a vacuum. There are other people around you doing the same business as you, who are your competition. And there is a world around you within which you operate, which will influence you.
Context
and
continuous
collaboration. The more you understand those five things, the more your business will just be a great marketing business. Client, competition, your client, your company, your competition, the context in which you work, and the people with whom you collaborate. And the struggle that most of us have in a small business is we don't collaborate with anybody. We think we can do it on our own. And you know what? I think that's a mistake. There are people around there who are twice as good at you at certain things that would help your business. You need to find out who they are, align with them, and talk. Help each other. So, for example, I went to see one of the Southern team the other day, and I know the Northern team have used this person as well. The need, the problem with the client, an advisor, Jim, and a circle member, was the systems internally and the people, the team, didn't kind of hang together. It was just stressful. Though the advisor was a brilliant financial planner. So I brought in Michelle Hoskin as an ally. And what does Michelle specialise in? It was in the last workbook.
Systems.
Internal systems. She's brilliant at looking at internal systems, saying, what a heap of malarkey that is. And just restructuring it. And then say, right, who are the people to work those systems? Right, she needs to go. That person needs to be promoted. You need a new person here. She's amazing. She can see it as clearly as daylight where I'm lost in the fog when it comes to internal systems. She's just alarming. And she's very fast thinking. She's just a seriously bright kid. And this is what she does all day long. So I brought her in as a collaborator. And she sorted out the problem, and now the client is as happy as Larry, and now can take on board marketing strategy, blah, 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 blah. Yeah? I couldn't do that by myself, nor can you. Then we talked about STP, which meant?
Segmentation.
Segmenting.
Targeting.
Positioning. Okay? You then also remember what positioning means, so we started talking about positioning. We found out to get your positioning right in their heads and hearts, there are five things you need to have right, the five P's. And we learned that they were
product,
price,
packaging,
packaging,
persuasion,
promotion and persuasion. Persuasion and promotion, yeah? Get your persuasion written into your promotion. And right now you're into persuasion, okay? Let's see how well you're doing. So that's the framework, makes sense? See, for your clients, you need to talk in frameworks like this. You need to learn to produce reports like this. So they remember, right, the five C's. Yeah, I know what those are. Eric, whatever. Whatever your language is, you need to create frameworks that are really, really easy for clients to understand and remember. So you say, remember we talked about the STP? Yeah, I know what that is. Language that they can understand, that they get. There's not enough of that goes on in the language. So tell me about this language of yours. Persuade me, why don't you? Go on, Stuart's team. First one, which is esteem. Go on, I'm an esteem-driven person. I'm a success, achievement. I've got to feel great about myself and the things I do in my work. So talk to me.
We value your and recognise your input into our recommendations.
We value and recognise your input into our recommendations. Okay? How does that appeal to esteem?
The value, the recognition, they involve the input.
Okay. That's a good one. I hadn't thought about that. Thank you. Next one is what? Control? Come on, Andy.
We will provide you with the structure to control your destiny.
Excellent. Yeah? They wouldn't listen to this language over here. That person wouldn't. And vice versa. You'd have to talk different language. What was your number three? What's yours? Talk about need to belong. How do you work with that one?
You're a valued member of our inner sanctum.
A valued member of our inner sanctum client yeah. group. Okay. I think that would work. I think that would work. If you want to work at this level, and should you ever meet with us, if you work at this level, you'll be a valued member of our inner sanctum. If you don't want to work at that level, you'll be over here. Interesting. And this team. Meaning and purpose.
Oh, well, sort of meaning is if you work with us, we hope you achieve your life goals by design and not by accident.
Okay. So connect that to meaning.
Well, that's life goals, isn't it?
Life goals by design, not by accident. Meaning and purpose. Mm. There's a gap there somewhere.
We actually decided to take one sentence to do them all easy.
Yeah, and that's interesting because you'll find that you can't capture all four in one message. You have to create four messages. You have to create four messages because.
Arthur did.
Yeah. Okay, go on.
4 pages long.
When you work with us, you will belong to an elite group of clients who are leaders in their own field and who are associated with like-minded individuals, which will mean you will be able to achieve a more secure lifestyle.
Okay.
As I said to them, I like it.
Yeah. it's it's meaningful. Catchy, it isn't.
Did it achieve all four of them?
Now I'm still working it out.
Yeah. What was the problem with that message?
Too long.
Yeah. What was the problem with the message? Yeah, I'd never get to the last word. Actually, this is quite intriguing, what Arthur's raised here. This is something to think about when you talk about your websites, which we'll have a look at in just a second, if that's okay with you. Particularly, excuse me, on a web, you have seconds. You've got about 5 to 7 seconds, and that's your end of it. If you don't capture my attention in those 7 seconds, you're lost. I'm elsewhere, because I'm too busy. I just am. I'm just a busy small business owner. I get messages thrown at me by the thousands every week, by all and sundry. So you have to capture my controlled esteem, meaning, or belonging in seconds. And here's the other point, and this is worth jotting down. People do not read. Particularly busy people do not read. What do they do? They don't read in business. What do? They scan. Even when they want to read, they scan first. And if they don't get in the scan within seconds what they want out of it, they're not going to read. And some of the reports I see from IFAs are seriously hard reading. And I'm looking at them thinking, why would you want to make it difficult for me to do business with you? I want to scan first, and then I will read. And if in the scan you grab my interest, you really got me. Here's a method, ready? We use this in your material, where you've got a 10% response on your marketing so far. The average in the industry, goodness knows how much business you'll do, but the response.
Yeah.
What's the average response to a mail shot, in whether online or offline?
1-2%.
Yeah, so you've got a 10%. And here's what we did, you ready? First of all, we did the subheading. So you have subject heading at the top. What was your subject heading again? How much do you love your tennis club?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's talking to tennis club owners. How much do you love your tennis club? A funny heading. How much do I love my tennis club? Well, actually, I love it a lot. Well, I know that, so I'm writing to you. And then what we did was, I wrote the subheadings next. So I helped Andy Graham with this. Subheading A, subheading B. I didn't write the text, I wrote the subheadings. Subheading B, and then C. And here's what I did. You ready? Take note of this, because this is so, what the Americans call it, cool or whatever. So neat, as the Americans would say. If you can tell the whole story of your letter in the subheadings alone, they don't need to read the letter. Tell the story in the subheadings. The best email sales letters that attract millions of dollars, millions, tell the story in the subheadings. Is this your problem? Is this your problem? Well, I can understand that. And of course, you probably feel this. And so it goes on. And you could actually skip all the text, read the subheadings, get the point, and sign up. Does that make sense? That's when you really begin to master persuasion in writing. So, in summary, learn the four ways of feeling and thinking about life. That's how they think out there and feel out there and make their decisions. Communicate with them on all four levels, and guess what? You won't leave any of the market out that you want to talk to. Now go to page, with your highlighter, go to page 41 and 42. With a pen and a highlighter, and I want you to put, I know you've done this before, but I've changed it. I want you to put an E, a C for control, an M for meaning, and what was the one again? A B for belonging, by whichever segment you think applies to that word. So is this an esteem thing? And I batch them all together into groups. Is this all about control? Is this all about belonging? Is this all about meaning? E, B, C, M. Just quickly do it now. 60 seconds, go. On that page and the next page. See if you can recognise it. If you can't recognise it, you're going to have a struggle writing it. Okay, let's summarise quickly. Okay, and this table. Eric, your table, what have you got?
We've not discussed it, but let's hopefully we'll agree.
Okay.
I think all the segmented into one thing. First three are control. Second three are esteem.
Yes.
Yes. Third lot are belonging.
Yeah.
And the fourth lot are meaning.
Okay. Who has something different? Do you want to repeat that?
The first
group is control. This is on page 41, yes?
Yeah. Second lot is esteem.
Everybody agree with that?
Yeah. Third lot belonging, and the fourth lot meaning.
Okay, everybody agree with that? Yep. Turn over the next page. And what have you got? Paul's team for 42.
I think we've got a little bit of variation, but for the first one we've got meaning.
You've got meaning there. Who disagrees with that?
Is it lack of control?
Control.
That would be control.
Okay.
So what did your second one say, Paul?
Control.
Okay. What's all that about? My daughter would say. What's the second group about?
Esteem.
What do you think it is?
Meaning. Belonging.
Meaning.
Meaning. Okay, what was the third one?
Esteem.
Esteem. Yeah, being outperformed by your competitors really hurts you. And the final one is belonging. Yeah? This is how I wrote to you concerning this workshop. So, what is the difference then between the two pages? There's something quite different between the two pages.
One's away from, one's to.
Yes. One's drawing you towards, this is what you aspire to, and this is what you want, and the second one page was, this is what you're trying to get away from, this is what hurts you and annoys you and irritates you and makes you really hacked off with life. Does that make sense? You have to be able to, in your persuasive material, work with all four, and both sides of all four, but not necessarily in the same piece of material. But you have to recognise that that's how people are moved to action towards you. And if you can do that, they will graduate towards you. They will just draw towards you. Either because you're helping them get away from something that really hacks them off, or because of something they want in their life. More meaning, more belonging, more control. Yeah. So in all of your material from now on, as you sit down with your team, by yourselves, ask yourself this question. Which of these four groups am I talking to in this piece of material? Do I actually know? And if you're only talking to one group, what's your problem? What are you missing? If you're only talking to one group, what's missing? Yeah, 75% of your potential ideal population is not listening to you. Sorry. You could create a niche which is only in control. Yes, yes. Well, yes, you could do, couldn't you? So the people who might want to read Stephen R. Covey might want both more meaning and purpose in life and also more control over their life.
At a personal level, if you're very skewed down one of those traits, you might find it difficult to associate on a relationship basis with...
Because you're personally... Yes, you'd find it very difficult. And that's the problem with all of you. Everybody comfortable with the word paradigm?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
The way things are. The way things appear.
The way things appear.
Your world.
Your world. Yeah, in science it's the model you have of how things are. Listen to that carefully. The model you have of how things are out there. The model you have of how things are. Of course, the model you have may be what?
Wrong.
But you're right. Very right. It's right for you.
These are not moral absolutes.
And so the challenge you have is you're constantly looking through a pair of spectacles where your model is written on the specs. This is the way I see the world. And of course you then get into a conversation when somebody says, what? That's not how it is. What are you, nuts? I mean, it's like this. You say, no, it's not, it's like this. And of course they're looking through what?
Rose-coloured.
Or a different paradigm. Yeah. And that's the challenge for all of us. What did Covey say? We don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. We don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. And your challenge, therefore, Stephen, is how do I stop seeing things through only my eyes and see things through the eyes of my different types of potential client or client. And that's where most people fail.
Do you know there are four types of people? There are visual, auditory, kinesthetic. You've taken that into this as well?
Well, I think that's another layer of communication. So that's part of your packaging and promotion. So right now, in all that you do, Niall, you're learning how to talk persuasively in their language. And then in promotion, you say, what's the vehicle, auditory vehicle, written vehicle, yeah, visual vehicle, that I now take that persuasion into to reach them. So, for example...
David.
Yes.
You could use this technique to identify... If you were to survey your...
Sorry, listen up.
If you were to survey your client base with questions, which of these questions are most important to you, just as you did? I mean, it would be interesting for you to see what these guys... whether, you know, what items they've highlighted. But you'd be able to identify your typical clients, whether they want to belong or whether they want control. And then you could manicure your message so it emphasises perhaps control.
Yeah.
Because the doctor may be different from a hotelier or whatever, typically. Yeah.
But once you've worked out your persuasive language, in other words, it speaks as they wish it to speak, it's all about control in their world, then you've got to decide, and how do I package that material into a vehicle that they will want to observe, which might be a visual vehicle. So what do I use in the advisor gym to talk to the world outside? What message, what ways do I use?
Audio.
How do I communicate with the world outside?
Audio.
Audio.
Social.
Yeah, I send out blogs with videos. Yeah. I'm constantly appearing in public seminars, so I stand up and I speak. That's very auditory. I produce PowerPoint slides, which I hate, but that's to appeal to the visual people in the group who don't mind the graphics on the PowerPoint slides. And I do a lot of blogging, writing for people who love that kind of communication. And some of you in the group will get turned off by some of that material. But then I've got to try and talk to all of you. It's hard work. But the skills you develop are immense. And the beauty about that, Niall, is once you learn to develop these skills to talk to these four people, your peer group doesn't know anything about this stuff. They're doing it intuitively and bumbling through it, and most of the time they're turning away 75% of their market that would come to them if only they knew how. And that's the beauty about doing these quite hard exercises. Okay, let's quickly jump to... the next few pages are just summarising, and I don't need to do that. We're going to move now to 47, and... Oh, coffee arrived? Okay. 3:15, coffee break. Very quickly, who's got a nice loud voice? Can scream and shout. Go on, Wendy, your turn, your guest. Just the grey bit at the top, 47.
Branding is all that goes into making a prospective client. In your niche, think of you and your firm when they want someone to solve their problems.
Okay, does anybody understand that? Who knew before they walked into this room what the word brand or branding meant? Okay, do you want to read that nice and loudly again, please?
Branding is all that goes into making a prospective client in your niche. Think of you and your firm when they want someone to solve their problems.
So, going right back to the beginning of today, if I have a problem in tax, do I automatically think of your name and brand? Does all that you do and say and look like come to my mind, yes or no? If I say these three words, four words, it's the real thing, you think... It's got to be that quick. And it doesn't mean you have to spend millions of dollars that you don't have on advertising. But you've got to learn to keep communicating out there until when they want something, when they hear the words purpose, passion, profit, eventually they have to think the advisor gym. It's got to be that crisp. Purpose, passion, the advisor gym. And where I'm trying to get you to today is to have a message which is so crisp they get it, and when they think about their problem they think, I know exactly the company that does that stuff.
Can I use yours?
Sorry?
Purpose, passion, profit. Can I use yours?
You can, yes. But not as well as me. Let me tell you what a brand is not. Turn to page 49. As a team, just take 2 minutes to study that page and tell me why that is not great branding. Just discuss between you. Right, this is really easy. Howard, your table. Tell me why this is not great branding.
It's not about the customer, it's all about them. There's nothing in particular that's going to relate to the customer's needs or problems. And although they're givens, if you know what I mean, they expect everybody they deal with to be have high integrity. They expect reputations, they expect you not to do them any disservice.
Okay.
You're not really bothered how long you've been in business, as long as you're doing the job for them now.
Okay. And what's the big clue to what great branding is on that page?
It doesn't mention the word you. It mentions the word
are or we. You're right, but there's something else that's bigger than that, Fred, going on that page.
Differentiation?
Yeah. Look, you better have some experience. You better have superior performance in what you're doing. You better have a decent level of service, otherwise you're not even on the table. You're not in the game. Cards aren't even dealt yet. You better have a superb reputation. And you darn well better have some high integrity. But that's just chips to enter the game. That's not, you haven't started the game yet. The game starts only when what you say in your early material, first couple of sentences, shows that you're really, really different. Okay, Nigel, do you want to read out the grey at the bottom to really punch that home? Nice and loudly.
Differentiation is one of the most important strategic and tactical activities which companies must engage. It is not discretionary.
Yeah. This is not a choice you got here if you want to win this game of marketing. To say we have superior performance, high levels of service, and it's just, you know, it's just twaddle. And you can go around on every IFA website in this industry and look at it, and on the homepage this is what you'll find. And there's nothing wrong with it, because that's what they have. They have superior performance and high integrity. Of course they do. But if I'm a prospective client, I've never met you and fallen in love with you yet, that's all I see. I see it everywhere. So why would I gravitate towards you? The question is, as Theodore said, is this is not discretionary, this is not an option. What is different about you? Different. Before I even meet with you, how do I recognise you're not the same as somebody else down the road? You're very, very different. And it's obvious to me and it's very clear. So the more I get out on the open circuit, the more I blog, people will find out, you know what? Now that he's done his business thing, and he's talked about moving from a practice to a business, you'll realise in the next year that I'm going to position myself really quite differently, and there'll be a lot of people that won't like it. I'm going to start becoming who I really am, which is the sole millionaire. Andy Jervis, everybody know Andy Jervis from Loughborough? He specialises in the back crack model. Bill Backrack, value-based selling, value-based client. Yeah? It's a complete way of doing business in the financial planning field in the States. And Andy Jervis called me the other day, and he's a lovely guy. He's just the nicest of people. And he said, he wrote a testimonial for the IFA Marketing Manifesto. So kind. He said, I like the manifesto, all 79 pages of it, but I don't like it that much. So he just gave me a testimonial. I said, well, I like it that much, but I don't like it that much. I said, well, what do you mean? What are you trying to tell me? He said, well, I don't see you in it. I don't see the sole millionaire anywhere. And I've read the book, and I know who you really are. I don't see any of that stuff in here. I'm really disappointed. Oh. Now, I like Andy a lot, and so I was quite hurt. I was quite upset. Because I value his judgment. He said, you're just not there. When are you going to start being in your material? Went to Jill Cardi. So what do you think of this? She wrote a testimonial. Well, said, yeah, I agree with Andy. You're not anywhere here. He said, and I've known you for 4 years, and this is not you. This is just being better than Brett. Or whatever. You know.
Which is a good thing to be.
Well, yeah, but what she was saying was, better than, and this is what Andy was saying was, better than is not it. Better than is not enough. Different to is it. I keep meeting really qualified financial planners, CFPs, double CFPs, and saying, I'm better than the next guy. And I'm saying, so what? Do you really think I give a monkey's if I'm a prospective client? And I haven't a clue what CFP means anyway. And even though I understood what the words meant, it still doesn't mean anything to me. CFP. What do I care? How different are you and relevant to me? How different are you than the next guy and relevant to me? So think about that. Go back to base and think about, what is it that's different about them? I mean, John and Stephen, what I liked about the wrestle you had with your segmentation is just that in that one exercise you started to be different to all the other guys out there who are doing gold, silver, bronze. Yeah? Nothing wrong with gold, silver, bronze, 100, 200, 300K, but they started to be quite different about it. No, we're interested in that. It's how do you feel 3 years before retirement? How do you feel within the year of retirement? How do you feel 3 to 5 years after retirement? And those feelings we'll work on, and that's their difference at the moment. Does that make sense? Better than is just not good enough. It will not win you marketplace share and quality clients and freedom in your life to live a different kind of life. More revenue, more profit, more enjoyable, fulfilling client relationships, less of them, and more free time to live without having to work. Okay, 5 more minutes. I want you to jump to page 51 to help you with your... Now that I've posed that problem, you're sitting there thinking, well, how the heck do I become different? I want you to have a look at page 51... Imagine that as a team you are an IFA practice. I won't go into detail as to what sort of business you're in, but you're a financial planning business, and as a team make a decision which of those three types of business you're going to be superb at. Are you going to be a business which offers amazing cutting-edge services? Are you going to be the kind of business that is really easy to work with and very convenient and very reliable? Or are you going to be the kind of business that is obsessed with client intimacy and getting very close to your client? Have a bash. As teams on the table.